On Mother's Day, a young boy came and asked his mother a question. How old were you when I was born? His mother replied, 23. Wow, that was a lot of time we missed spending time together. Isn't that sweet? If only all children were that way, right? Now, we are blessed, each one of us, with our children. God has given us special, beautiful children. But raising healthy, happy, and godly children is a great challenge facing mothers today. Would you not agree? Our secular culture is breeding ungodliness and rebellion. Things now are much different compared to when I grew up. My parents were born in 1955 in Saskatchewan. My mother was 17 years old when she was married. Following year, she had her first child, and within a span of 16 years, there were 9 of us kids. Needless to say, my mother was busy, taking care of us, cooking, cleaning, laundry, planting a huge garden. She also had to help my dad out in the fields. We were on a farm, so she would go out in the field, helping with seeding, with harvesting, and with us children, what she would do is she would take out a wagon, load the wagon with blankets, toys, and food, so that when she was out there on the tractor, if there was ever a need from us, all we would do is raise the flag that she gave to us, so that would catch her attention, and she would race to take care of us. I remember one time my brother and I were seriously ill with German measles. For several weeks, we had high fever. Mom was taking care of us all the time, 24/7. And she got so exhausted that we had to call the neighbor lady to come and take care of us so she could get her needed rest. Mom would do anything for us because she loved us. We asked her, how did you manage all this with 9 of us children? Her reply, she was always praying to God for wisdom and strength. Was she paid for the work that she did? No. Now, if you were to place a monetary price for a mother's work, how would you calculate that? Forbes magazine article titled, Think You Can Put a Price on Motherhood? It attempted to put a price on the work of American mothers. And it broke down motherly duties into 10 categories. 1, facilities manager. 2, CEO. 3, laundry machine operator, computer operator, housekeeper, cook, daycare teacher, van driver, janitor, psychologist. Then it determined the cost for outsourcing all of these duties. The 40-hour base salary was calculated at $37,022. Then overtime, 54.7 hours at $74,941, with a grand total in U.S. funds, $112,962 annual salary. Now, mothers, would you like to be reimbursed that kind of money? And if you need an agent, I'll be your agent. Helen Hunt Jackson states, motherhood is priced of God, a price no man may dare to lessen or misunderstand. We can estimate a monetary value for a mother's work, but from God's perspective, her work and responsibilities are immeasurable, priceless, particularly when you consider what her most important role is, the molding and shaping of a child's character, which is often overlooked and unappreciated, especially in our secular, ungodly world. Billy Graham states, only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a godly mother in the molding of character in her children. John MacArthur, which most of you know, he also states, to be a mother is by no means second class. The mother, more than the father, is the one who molds and shapes those little lives from day one. I like this quote in Adventist Home, where it says, no other work can equal hers in importance. What was that? No other work can equal hers in importance. It is hers, with the help of God, to develop in a human soul the likeness of the divine. Motherhood is not a hobby, it's not a profession, but it is a sacred call from God. Mothers perform the most important work, occupy the most influential position, and teaching and discipling their children to love God. This is what promotes the health and happiness of the family and the community, and the security and integrity of our world. Tragically, most mothers don't understand or appreciate this. Consequently, the sinfulness and brokenness of humanity is perpetuated, provoking much conflict and suffering in our world today. No other work can equal hers to reverse this damaging process and to restore within man the image of God. Mothers, you have been divinely designed by God to fulfill this specialized role. God, in His love and wisdom, created someone very, very special to suitably manage this sacred work. And that someone special is you. I want you to listen to the following description of God creating mothers. When the good Lord was creating mothers, He was into His sixth day of overtime, when the angel appeared and said, "You're wasting a lot of time on this." And God said, "Have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic, have 180 movable parts, all replaceable, and run on leftovers, have a lap that disappears when she stands up, a kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair, and 6 pairs of hands." The angel shook his head slowly and said, "6 pairs of hands? No way." "It's not the hands that are causing me problems," God remarked. "It's the 3 pairs of eyes that mothers have to have." "That's on the standard model?" asked the angel. God nodded. "1 pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. Another here in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And of course the ones here in front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, 'I understand and I love you,' without so much as uttering a word." "God," said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, "get some rest tomorrow." "I can't," said God. "I'm close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of 6 on 1 pound of vegetables, and can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower." The angel circled the model of a mother very slowly. "It's too soft," he sighed. "Oh, but it's tough," said God excitedly. "You can't imagine what this mother can do or endure." "Can it think?" asked the angel. "Not only can it think, but it can reason and adapt," said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran his fingers across the cheek. "There's a leak," he pronounced. "I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model." "It's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "What's it for?" "It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride." "You're a genius," said the angel. Somberly, God said, "I know. Isn't she wonderful?" Yes, mothers are wonderful. Their sacred role is essential and vital for the health and happiness of the children and the family, and for the safety and integrity of the community and planet. Unfortunately, there's an enemy who is distorting and destroying mother's sacred role. Satan has unleashed a seductive campaign to undermine the sanctity of motherhood and deceive mothers from the divine destiny. Two obvious attacks are a woman's career is much more important than motherhood, and the gender confusion and manipulation. But he is constantly harassing mothers with smaller, little crippling lies to discourage them and to keep them in a hopeless state. What are these lies that mothers really, really struggle with? I want to share 8 of them with you. Lie number 1, you don't have friends. Loneliness is one of Satan's most effective tools to isolate mothers from others and rob them of help and support. Mothers, I encourage you, if you are going through loneliness, reach out to other mothers. It might be difficult finding someone with kids with similar ages and parenting philosophy, but pray and ask God to bring an unexpected mentor into your life. Look through the church directory as you pray and consider who might be a potential candidate to providing support with you. Also, connect with some empty nester moms for support and mentorship. Lie number 2, you can't attend church with disobedient children. Any of you mothers ever struggle with that? I'm sure. Satan wants to detach you from the church community and rob you of growth and knowledge of God and the fellowship of other Christians. If you need help with your children, find someone that you trust to assist you. And church, if you see a mother in need, don't criticize or condemn. Lend them a compassionate and gentle hand. Lie number 3. Your spouse doesn't care about your children in the same way that you do. The Bible says 2 are better than 1, especially in teaching and disciplining your children. Satan may manipulate you with these lies. Your spouse is too busy or distracted to care, or you are actually alone in this parenting thing. Dialogue and partner with your spouse to enlist their help and support. Ask God to unite your hearts in a shared mission for your children. Lie number 4. Being mother is hard work and not worth it. Is motherhood hard work? See a lot of you mothers nodding your heads. Yes, it is a lot of hard work. Is it worth it? Yes, it is. Only if you partner together with Christ. Model Christ to your children, expressing love and teaching them moral boundaries. God will bless you with success. You are not in this alone. Apart from Christ, you will fail. Jesus will enable you to be successful. Jesus said in John 15, verses 5 and 7, he says, "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do what? Nothing. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Lie number 5. You should feel guilty about how you treat your children. How many mothers struggle with this? Do you feel like a failure, a terrible mom for your kids? Remember this one thing. No one is perfect. Protect yourself from perfectionistic expectations for your children and for yourself. Sometimes, often, we are our greatest enemies. Satan exploits our mistakes and failures and condemns us, but Christ is ready and willing always to forgive. What does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lie number 6. Your children are worse than other children. Do not compare your children with others. God has gifted you with a unique child, and he never gives you more than you can handle. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, in the New Living Translation, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Don't liken your children to others and embarrass or belittle them. Love and accept them. Address inappropriate behaviors, but affirm their value. Help your children to find their identity in Christ, not in their sin or disobedience. Lie number 7. Your marriage isn't as important as your motherhood. Mothers must honor God first with their time and devotion. Next, their marriage, serving their husband and nurturing their marriage. Third priority should be serving and teaching your children. Children thrive when they know mom and dad love each other. That provides incredible security for them. Matthew 6, verse 33 states, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you." Lie number 8. Prayer doesn't work, and you don't have time to pray. Satan wants you to think that God is indifferent to your needs and unapproachable. But God is always attentive and responsive to your cry. Isaiah 30, verse 19, in the New Living Translation states, "O people of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He surely will respond to the sound of your cries." God is not inattentive or unconcerned regarding your cries for help. Mothers, Christ has defeated Satan. He is a defeated foe. Jesus is for you and not against you. Hold on to Him and His truth and reject Satan's lies. Christ will successfully empower you in the divine call of motherhood. Sonia was born on December 24th, 1928, and grew up in rural Tennessee. She stopped attending school after the third grade before she could learn how to read and write. At 13, Sonia married, and several years later, she had 2 sons. In 1959, Sonia made the difficult decision of leaving her husband. Having discovered that he had never divorced his first wife, she and her 2 sons moved in with an older sister in Boston. Those were difficult years for Sonia, who fought depression, working long hours as a domestic worker. 2 years later, the family decided to return to Detroit. The 2 boys struggled in their academic performance. Sonia, however, taught her sons that it was in their power to change their situation in life, both academically and financially. She devised a plan for her sons to curb TV time and write 2 book reports a week instead. The required book reports were turned in to her, who would then mark them up with check marks and highlights. Years later, "We realized her marks were a trick," wrote Ben. "My mother was illiterate, having only received a 3rd grade education." For Ben, regular reading was the beginning of a fruitful academic career, eventually taking him to Yale and to Johns Hopkins University Hospital, where he worked as director of neuropediatric surgery from 1984 to his retirement in 2013. He has repeatedly shared how his mother often told him and his brother that they could do anything and do it better if they just worked hard at it. "She always had faith in us, and she never accepted excuses. Her life maxim was, learn to do your best, and God will do the rest. All that I am is because of the love of my mother," wrote Dr. Ben Carson. "She was one of God's greatest blessings to me, and it was her foresight and discernment that pushed me to reach my dreams." Motherhood is truly a sacred call from God to mold and shape the character of children, to promote the health and happiness of the family, and the safety and integrity of the community and the world in which we live in. Satan is harassing and discouraging women from the sacred call to thwart God's plan for the uplifting of humanity and to enslave humanity in his selfish and deadly grip. Mothers, remember your sacred call. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No other work can equal yours in importance. It is yours, with the help of God, to develop in human soul the likeness of the divine.